From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, I wish I actually had some kind of a better update for you. Is it Hurricane Milton or the new hurricane that's coming through? And here's my understanding. I mean, it's expected to hit the west coast of Florida, which is not totally unprecedented. I think it happened maybe back in the 60s going this direction. If I looked at everything right, it looked like the storm came across Mexico over the Gulf and turned into a hurricane and is expected to be as high as Hurricane Category 5 when it hits Florida. And they've been very clear about the danger, but the expected route is from the west coast of Florida, straight across the state, over the east coast, and then out to sea. God willing, it'll go out to sea and not have a huge impact on those areas already affected by Hurricane Helene, which, by the way, we already have had hurricane relief efforts on our website at klyt.fm. for Hurricane Helene through Samaritan's Purse and the Rapid Response Team from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And as Samaritan's Purse posts links specifically for this second hurricane, we'll make that available to you. But pray for everyone, the first responders. I'm hearing stories about people who they're hunkering down. They had opportunity to leave, and they intentionally decided they're going to stay with their property. Even I heard a story of a guy on his boat, which, I mean, to survive what's coming would really be, if not a miracle, near to it. So keep these people in your prayers, please do. And we'll keep you informed on our website for opportunities for the relief that's going to be so desperately needed from other places. You were hearing FEMA's out of funds. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know that the church can step up and the church can reach out to people, and we'll let you know where that's available. I'll tell you right now where it'll be available is at klyt.fm. You can go straight to samaritanspurse.com, but if you forget, just remember our website is a place to go on the Action Center for assistance. So I know it kind of went on and on, but so concerned for this is going to be historic. It's tragic. So Lord be with them, and we'll continue our prayers. Full hour today on ABQ Connect with Ray Mondragon. Ray's with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, and you'll find the content that we discuss on a monthly basis on his website at forhisglorynm.org.com. Okay.
.com.
Forhisglory.com or forhisglorynm.com. And Ray, in addition to the time you spend with the folks at Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, you are currently teaching a class at Schaefer Seminary. Theological mm-hmm. Seminary.
Yep.
And they can find out more about Schaefer. Is it chafer.edu?
Edu. Edu. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And actually, off the air, Ray was mentioning another event coming up in Dallas.
In Dallas, early December, one of the first weeks there, not the exact first week, but there's a what's called a pre-trib conference, annual conference, over 500 lay people, pastors, professors, people that just want to learn the Bible, basically. We have a conference every year. A lot of Schaefer people go.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I go is to see some of the people I know, and this year I'm one of the speakers.
Oh, what are you going to be talking on?
I'm going to give kind of an overview of hermeneutics and Bible study methods, the course I'm teaching right now.
Right, right. So you're all polished up and ready to go.
Almost.
Yeah.
Lots of time still.
You kind of have that talk in your hip pocket, don't you?
Right now, it's pretty fresh.
Yeah, good. Well, we covered day one and day two of creation already in the time we've had with Ray over the past several months. And today, we plan to spend a good amount of time on day three.
Yep, day four.
Day four, and even maybe day five.
If we have time.
All right. So I guess in way of review, Ray, what are we trying to bring people back to and remember where we were previously on our time mm-hmm. with Ray?
Well, at the big picture level, we know that God is creator, or at least we believe that. We believe what the scriptures teach us concerning God as creator. So that's kind of the big idea that we want to encourage and strengthen in terms of the believer's thinking, because we're bombarded with the idea that things came about gradually over long periods of time using forces like evolution, etc. So we want to equip the audience with the idea that God is the creator of all things. So it starts off in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Henry Morris calls that the most significant statement ever made because it basically covers everything. We wouldn't have anything else apart from what God created.
Right. Even just the part that's in the beginning, God.
Absolutely. He was there. Yeah. So everything has a beginning except God. God is there, and he's the originator of the universe, essentially. The heavens and the earth are a merism that give us the two ends, you might say, of totality, the extent. There's no Hebrew word for universe, so that's the Hebrew way of describing the universe. So God is the creator of everything that we can conceive of. In fact, Paul says in Colossians, things visible and invisible. So there's a lot of things that we can't even see that God is the creator. And we have hints of even things like language. You can't see language, if you will. It's kind of in our minds, a thought. And when it says, and God said, at the very beginning, verse 3, let there be light, God speaks, and he speaks things into existence. So not only do we have the creation of light, which is a form of energy, but God speaking, so we have the origin of language. We find that language comes from God himself. And later on in Genesis 1, we learn that God creates man in his image, after his likeness. And part of that image is the ability to form thought, the ability to be able to communicate thought, and the usage of language in order to make that communication. So God is the originator of it, and he hints at that when he says, and God said, or Moses records, and God said. And we have that before every creative day. So God speaks the entire creation into existence. So we've gone over that, and tells us that God is the originator of things visible and invisible. And it's by language that we are even capable of forming a thought or an idea concerning the creation. So that would be related to science as well. So science could not exist without our ability to communicate ideas and concepts and make observations, all part of what God built into us, that ability. So we're talking about science throughout Genesis 1. So we not only have the origin of the universe, but if light is energy, we have the origin of optics. We have the origin of the electromagnetic spectrum. Light being only a very small, tiny portion of the entire electromagnetic spectrum that would include all kinds of light that are not detectable by mankind. We have instruments that help us to see other
those ultraviolet
wavelengths, ultraviolet, even x-rays.
Yeah.
But all of that is a form of energy. So God builds energy into the universe and other energies as well. So we have the origin of optics, And in contrast to evolution, we're introduced, and we see this on every day as well, the concept that when God creates, there's immediacy of fulfillment. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. No long ages, no long time, no processes. God speaks things instantaneously, you might say, into existence. The immediacy of fulfillment, totally contrary to the concept of slow processes over long periods of time involving evolutionary processes. And at every turn in Genesis 1, we have contradictions with or inconsistency with the thinking of the world today in terms of evolutionary thinking. So that's day one. We spent a whole session on it, actually a couple of sessions on day one.
And then last month, got ourselves through day two.
And day two kind of focuses on outer space. It's hard to tell from the text itself, but the expanse is basically, in fact, it's named the heavens. So it's described as the heavens that would include heavenly bodies, all of the stars. Now, the stars aren't created yet, but the expanse, the rakia is the Hebrew word there. God separates out the waters on this mass that he calls earth, and he leaves the waters that are on the earth for day three, where he's going to separate the waters from the land mass. But he makes this separation, and we commented that we expect at the edge of the universe to probably find a sphere of water or a layer of water that would be the outer edge of the entire universe. We haven't been able to see that far out yet, so science is still catching up with what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see more of that. In other words, science is still catching up with what God has revealed in his word.
And you know, we could see an awful long way.
So far. Billions of light years.
One of the scriptures that, actually in times of trouble, that brings me comfort. Is our big God, who
absolutely
can measure
bigger than the universe,
the span of the universe, or the universe with the span of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
We may be small, and I hesitate to use the word insignificant because we aren't to him. We're dearly loved, and he counts the hairs on our head. But as we walk through this and think about creation and the size and enormity of it, mm-hmm, that he would send his son to die for us, that has to be an impact in the hearts of men and women. If you've never really considered that, we hope that that it does have an impact. But we're going to continue to talk about his glory and his creation and take time to walk through day three, God willing, day four and day five. Lots to talk about.
Lots of science.
Lots of science. That's the other thing, Ray, that I'm so glad we spent the time. Because I think as a Christian, you can hear science and immediately kind of turn off, but the truth is his science is perfect.
He's the inventor of it. He's the revealer of it.
Yeah, we're going to hear more about it. We're visiting with Ray Mondragon with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, and Ray currently a professor at Schaefer University, and we'll be speaking at, what's the name of the conference in Dallas?
Pre-trib conference.
The pre-trib conference in Dallas.
In fact, if people just Google pre-trib, it will be one of the options that comes up.
There you go. So we're going to come back and talk more after the break on ABQ Connect. So at the top of the hour, we're reminding you about prayer for the hurricane headed to Florida. Looking online, actually, during the break, it's gone up to a strong Category 4, but it is expected by landfall, I believe, tonight, maybe close to midnight, when it impacts somewhere near Tampa Bay. But last I heard, too, it could be a little off from that, which would ease some of the surge in the Tampa Bay area, but not by much. It's still going to be a super huge event, and pray for the safety of those in the first responders and those that are living there. You know, and I mentioned, you know, some have chosen to stay. There's some people, I'm sure, who just didn't have means to get out, and they're going to just seek shelter as best they can. You pray for the leaders in Florida that they're doing what they can to prepare for this. So just continue prayer. We are looking forward to pressing on with Ray Mondragon, Ray's with the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico, which, by the way, they meet monthly the third Tuesday each month at Faith Bible Church in Albuquerque. That is at Central and Moon. The next meeting is next Tuesday, the 15th, at 7 p.m. It's free to attend if you've never been to this. Families, students, if you're by yourself, everyone encouraged to come out and check it out. A couple months ago, they watched a part one of the video, Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception. And whether or not you saw part one, by the way, there'll be plenty of content that, you know, it's not like you need to see the first part necessarily, there'll be plenty of content to go and really be educated by checking out part two of Alien Intrusion, Unmasking a Deception. Along with events like this, they have quality speakers from, you know, month to month, either a speaker or a video. And they also have books and DVDs, a lending library that's available through the Creation Science Fellowship.
I'm speaking.
You're speaking this month?
No, or November.
In November. Okay. The resources they have available are csfnm.org. A month from Tuesday, essentially, I mean, third Tuesday in November, Ray Mondragon, our guest, will be speaking. Do you have a topic yet, Ray?
Oh, yeah. I'll be talking on essentially answering the question, to what extent is God involved in the creation? And how do you detect that? How can you tell that God is involved in the creation? So I'm going to go over, there's literally hundreds of passages. Obviously, I won't be able to cover all of them, but there's literally hundreds of passages in Scripture that involve God in his creation. He used the creation to accomplish many of his purposes. And there's lots of examples, and not just miracles. In fact, some passages are just incidental. In other words, just telling us something that God did that involved the creation. So God is highly involved in not only the creation, but in science itself.
All right. And the title of Ray's message on November 19th will be, Is God Shouting Through His Creation? And clearly, I was not surprised, but unaware that Ray was going to be speaking. But I found that out simply by going to the website, csfnm.org. It is a great resource. If you have not been there, I would encourage you to go kind of surf around their website, csfnm.org. Plenty of no-cost resources for you to check out. All right, Ray is pressing on today. We're heading into a look at God's creation, specifically science and day three, as we press on. Ray, where are we headed?
Well, we saw from day one, God, actually from Genesis 1:1, God created all things, the universe. Day one, he creates energy and the electromagnetic spectrum. One thing I didn't mention in our little review there, we have, if not overt, at least hints of God creating a time frame without the sun, because he doesn't create the sun until day four, the sun and the moon. But there's a time frame. There's morning and there's evening and day one, or evening and morning, day one. So a time frame is already established. Obviously, from God's perspective, he operates outside of time. So he provides a time frame as part of his creation. And then on day three, let me review, we covered already the first part in verse 9, Genesis 1, 9. Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. So we have another separating of the waters. On day 2, we had the separating of waters that leave earth separate, and perhaps a ring or an edge of water at the edge of the universe. But now on earth, he separates the waters from the dry land. And again, immediacy of fulfillment, it was so. And he calls the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he calls sea. So we have probably the origin of at least one continent. In fact, that's what seems to be the case, because everything is in one place. So continents are going to come later. And the book of Genesis, I think, explains also where the continents come about. But that's not in Genesis 1. So we have landmass, and there are actually two major events that are described on day 3. The second one begins in verse 11. And God said, and notice again, God speaking these things into existence, let the earth sprout vegetation. Now, I mentioned that the text, I think, the Holy Spirit guiding Moses deliberately put in his thinking under inspiration little notes like what it says here, let the earth sprout vegetation. Because he knew that eventually we would have the evolutionary thinking, and part of evolutionary thinking is that life came from some primordial soup. Or out of the waters, or out of the oceans. Nope. The text says, let the earth sprout vegetation.
It does. I love it.
So vegetation is the creation, the second creative major event of day 3. And if you think about it and study botany and plant life, you see that there are some amazing things about it. In fact, plant life provides for mankind and other animals, or I shouldn't say other, but animals, all that we need in the way of food through the process of photosynthesis. God has created all of that. And through water and carbon dioxide and sunlight, through the process of photosynthesis, we have oxygen that we can breathe. And food products that we can consume, and even if we're non-vegetarian and eat meat, the animals derive their nourishment from the plant life. So ultimately, we as well, and certainly we eat vegetables and plant life as well. So photosynthesis produces oxygen that we may be able to survive in terms of breathing, and it also provides food. And vegetation is very abundant, and God has produced it in such a way that it reproduces. In fact, the text tells us, if you read on, and vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind. And it's only been in somewhat recent time that we have confirmed that not only animals, but plant life reproduce after their kind. In other words, there's no evolution. This contradicts evolution as well. The word there, kind, is the Hebrew word min. Very simple three-letter Hebrew word, min. It is stressed in this context. It is related to not only plant life, but we'll have that other phrase in relationship to all of the animals as well. They reproduce after their kind. What this does is it limits the possibility of plants evolving. Now, there is variation in the plant world as well as the animal world, but there's limitations to it. You can't cross certain boundaries, and we're learning that from microbiology and genetics and other sciences that have arisen relatively recently. So science is just catching up with Genesis 1 when it comes to botany or biology as well. So self-reproducing plants that provide all of the nourishment for all of the animal life and mankind as well. So when you think of plants, you need to go back and think in terms of God as the creator. Now, Sarfati, who's a creation scientist and Bible scholar, you might call him, he describes this process of photosynthesis. He says it is one of the most important chemical reactions on earth. And God creates this on day three.
So, with the time we have left, Ray, I think we're going to have time to get through four and five. Any more on day three?
Well, you might say we have the origin of geophysics. That would be that separating of the waters and the land. So
more science.
More geophysics. Yeah. Well, if not the origin, maybe the origin came on before day one. But at least the first modification or the first transformation in geophysics, the Bible and the book of Genesis is going to describe other geophysical transformations, one at the Genesis flood. And there might be some hints of it even at the fall of man, where geophysics is radically affected as well. Now, those are transformations that science is incapable of observing because they're historical past events. But the Genesis flood has left behind lots of evidence of the transformation of planet Earth. So day three, we have transformations of geophysics. We have the origins of botany and genetics and all of the related sciences. And again, we have the fixity of kinds, no evolution. And again, it prioritizes throughout Genesis 1 the work of God. So that's day three.
Okay, and if you weren't taking notes, a reminder that this is archived at a couple different places, abqconnect.online. And then also you'll find each discussion that Ray and I have had over the last several months, even years, I think now, Ray.
Yeah.
You'll be able to go to his site at
forhisglorynm.com.
Okay. Ray Mondragon, our guest on ABQ Connect for the full hour today from the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. We're going to be back jumping into day four after this on ABQ Connect. All right. Having mentioned the hurricane coming to, you know, heading towards Florida, and of course a request for your prayers for all involved as it heads that way. And we will have the information posted for relief efforts on our website as soon as it's made available. The Hurricane Helene content already there at klyt.fm. The other stuff on the website I want to draw your attention to real quick. Opportunity to get information on voting. The voter guide information is there. You know, we're only 27 days and a couple hours away from Election Day. And if you're not registered to vote, there is still time to do that. You can go through one of those links and get registered to vote. But some important dates coming up a week from Saturday, there'll be expanded early voting. Early voting has started at the county clerk's office here in Bernalillo County. Then October 22nd is the last day to request an absentee ballot online. Of course, November 5th, Election Day. But many of us hopefully will be getting out long before then to cast our vote. And we do encourage you to be involved. Registered to vote. Be informed. You can get all the information you need through those voter guides and participate. So thanks for going to our website. We do what we can to get you the information that's relevant to what you were probably dealing with. So go to klyt.fm for more information. Our guest is Ray Mondragon from the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. We're walking through Genesis chapter one with Ray and a look at science and that God created. And we've looked at the science of day one, of day two, of day three, and Ray, now day four.
Yep, day four follows. Obviously, day three. Day three, we just stressed that God creates food and oxygen factories, you might even call them. Another good statement that Sarfati makes in his commentary, God's self-replicating solar-powered food factories. I like that. And on day four, interestingly, we have plant life before light. And remember, we need sunlight in order for plant life to survive, in fact, for anything to survive. It's not till day four that God begins to create the sun and the moon. And the text itself, then God said, so God speaks again, speaking things into existence, let there be lights. Now, he doesn't use the word. There is a Hebrew word for sun. That's not the word here. The word here is light bearers, or simply put by New American Standard, let there be lights in the expanse. And by the way, it's plural, so it includes the moon because it's going to be expanded here. So let there be lights in the expanse. Remember, the expanse was that rakia, that
right,
separated out, in other words, the heavens. So either there were no particles out there, either that or God coalesced particles into the sun and now into the moon. And we're all going to see also that it's going to include the stars. So all of the heavenly bodies, essentially. So the day is to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So now we have ways of measuring. That's why I stressed the time frame that came before the sun. And by the way, there's other things that came before the sun as well. Plant life, as I've mentioned. So vegetation before sunlight. And by the way, fruit trees that are mentioned also on day three, these are before animals. Animals aren't created until day five. We'll get to that. So do plants need animals? Yeah, they need animals to pollinate and to reproduce. And yet we have this separation in the days, which indicates that we have a relatively short period of time here. In other words, another contradiction to evolution. And also another contradiction in terms of the sequence that the evolutionary thinking would give you in terms of what came first, plant life or animal life. So day four, we have heavenly bodies. And by the way, the earth is created before the sun and the moon and before the universe, before the stars. That's totally out of sequence as well. So another contradiction with evolutionary thinking. And I think, as I said, the Holy Spirit probably guided Moses to record what we have in Genesis 1, knowing that in the 21st century and even before, when we begin to think in a secular way and start to substitute what God said with man's ideas, man's speculation, as Paul describes it in Romans 1, that we would come to these wrong conclusions. So rather than imposing man's ideas, that would even include science, upon the biblical text, let the text sort out these ideas and adjust your science to it. So we reject secular thinking and allow Genesis 1 to guide our thinking. And these are some of the major thoughts that we're bringing out, particularly in terms of science. So day four, earth before sun, earth before stars, in fact, earth before galaxies. And then almost as a sidelight in the biblical text, and it's striking if you know Hebrew, At the end of verse 16, well, let me read the whole verse. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, that would be the sun, the lesser light to govern the night, and then almost, you're wondering where the stars came from? What about the stars, you're asking? In just two words, stars also. And he didn't elaborate. He just said, it's almost like, I know you're thinking about it. I know you are wondering. Stars also. So here you go. So you can include not only the stars, but everything associated with outer space, essentially. All of the particles, all the asteroids, comets, etc. So that's day four, where we have the creation of the heavenly bodies, focusing on the sun, because we need the sun, and giving some priority to the moon as well, the importance of the moon as well, in terms of a light during the nighttime. So heavenly bodies are created on day four. So you might say this is the origin of astronomy. And some more data concerning the overall astrophysics, but specifically astronomy dealing with the heavenly bodies.
All right. And listen, if you just joined us, Ray Mondragon is our guest for the full hour from the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. They'll be meeting next Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock at Faith Bible Church on Central at Moon. It's the third Tuesday of each month. You'll find details about the organization at csfnm.org. We're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we'll see if Ray can get through day five as we continue a look at science and God's creation. Love to see what sciences maybe we haven't covered yet, Ray, but we'll get to more when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. We're going to finish this final segment with Ray Mondragon, the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico. They're going to meet next Tuesday night at Faith Bible Church, Central and Moon at 7 p.m., and you're invited. It's free. Come on out. They've got a video that actually saw the first part of it a couple of months ago, and they're regardless, part two is it'll be in context. It'll be easy enough to follow along. Alien intrusion, unmasking a deception, part two. And then next month, I believe on November 19th, Ray will be speaking. So if you're listening to Ray on the air here and you want to go hear what he has to say during the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico meeting next month, you can do that on November 19th. Details.
In fact, I'd love to meet your radio audience.
Right? Step up and say, hey.
Yeah, I just have a fuzzy picture of who your audience is all about.
And right now, you're all real good looking.
That's right.
CSFNM.org for details on that. But Ray, let's do what we can to get through day five, science and creation.
Well, day five prioritizes the animal kingdom, and it's best to just start with what Moses pens here in verse 20 of Genesis 1. Again, it begins like all the days begin. In fact, twice on day three, then God said. So God is speaking. God is speaking his creation into existence. Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Now, it's very broad. So it's talking about all water creatures, all of the creatures that exist in the waters. And the second category here, very broad again. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. So flying creatures, water creatures, and flying creatures. And it calls attention in verse 21, God created the great sea monsters. I wonder why he inserts that. Any thoughts on that?
No, not
large animals.
You mean whales or?
Probably dinosaurs. It probably might include whales as well.
And people they're shouting at the radio, Leviathan.
Yeah. because of all these myths that would come, and also historically, most of the cultures worshipped. For example, they worshipped the sun. So God calls attention. He didn't even call it the sun. He calls it lights. In other words, he focuses on the purpose of it rather than on the reality of what it actually is called. And here he calls attention to large creatures, probably dinosaurs, because of the mythology that would be associated with these animals, and also because many of these animals were also worshipped over time as well. So I think the Holy Spirit is just calling our attention here. This is where they originate. They're part of God's very good creation. Something happened to them as well after the fall of man. You know, so the great sea monsters.
Part of what comes to mind, too, as we go through this and what happened on what day, you know, there's life created long before day five.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, why would God...
not too many hours.
Right. Yeah. I love that. There was morning and there was evening.
That's right.
There was morning. It was a day. But you know, as you mentioned, the Holy Spirit, you know, worked in Moses to write down things specifically. And he said when you know, life came from the soil, from the earth.
From the earth, yeah.
Yeah, from the earth, you know, that, you know, knowing that perhaps, you know, not perhaps, God is all-knowing.
Yeah, Moses may not have, yeah, but...
Right. You know, of what man would eventually come to say, like you said, of life coming from, you know, some...
primordial soup.
Right. and the thought occurred to me, you know, well, what if I, you know, if you're able to ask God, you know, well, God, why day five before you get to the birds and the, you know, aquatic creatures.
And bees that pollinate or right. help pollination.
And the thought occurred to me, you know, the answer may just be because. However, maybe you're aware of something I'm not. You know, it's so reasoned
I think it's deliberate.
There's much more to it than because I chose that day,
right? The reason we miss it is because our minds are so clouded with secular evolutionary thinking. Right. And our tendency is to impose that thinking on the biblical text. So
yeah, and that I mean, not just that thinking. I mean, where he exists, where he abides in our hearts. I understand, but heaven is you know where John tried to write down and describe what heaven was like. He couldn't do it. Yeah, so. We're just thinking like we did. Yeah.
I like to say that John was trying to describe the indescribable.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So it's really fascinating. And before I forget, before the end of the day, thanks, Ray, for walking us through this. It's always compelling. And we hope that the listeners are taking notes. And we'll come see you on November 19th at the Creation Science Fellowship of New Mexico meeting at Faith Church. Okay. Let's press on with
time. Well, there's more in
got about four
day
minutes.
Five. Okay, no problem. So it summarizes again or reiterates at the end of verse 21, with which the waters swarmed, so masses of animals were created. And notice the little phrase again, after their kind, that word men that we've already discussed.
Yeah.
So we have the same boundaries in terms of creatures and their creation, kinds here. And every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So he evaluates, gives an evaluation. And then they're encouraged to be fruitful and multiply. So we have water creatures, and we have creatures that fly. And there's going to be more on day six that we'll get to maybe next time. But some of the things to prioritize and notice as we're looking at the creation of day five, we have a distinction between plants and animals, and in fact, a separation even in days. We also have, contradictory to the evolutionary thinking, we have birds before reptiles or flying creatures. In fact, it's broad. It would include more than just birds.
Oh, yeah, where the evolutionists would say the birds came from...
After land animals. Yeah, evolution. Yeah. In fact, if you believe in evolution, you have to believe in four separate, distinct paths for flying creatures. Because there's actually four distinct creatures that fly. And here we have flying creatures in a broad sense. There's not only birds, but mammals are distinct. Mammals are unique, and there are flying mammals. Bats, for example. And in the fossil record, there are flying reptiles, or at least what are believed to be reptiles. That's a totally separate category from birds. Some of those dinosaur creatures that flew that have been uncovered in the fossil record. And there's the fourth category. Can you think of it?
No.
Tiny ones? Insects.
Little bugs. Buzzing around. Yeah.
Yeah. Insects.
Yeah. So you have to have. I found those mosquitoes in New Mexico this year. That's for sure.
You have to have four separate, distinct evolutionary paths. One is impossible. And now you have to have four in order to have what we have today in terms of flying creatures. And I believe all of them were probably created on day four.
And here, then, with all that, we have another science.
That's right. We have zoology. Yeah. We have, what's the science of fish? I can't remember the name of it. But
marine biology?
Well, marine biology, yeah, you could call it that. There's a specific name for fish as well.
Fish science.
Yep. Let's call it fish science.
Probably about 30 seconds, Ray.
Okay, well, God is the creator of all things, and that's the priority of Genesis 1. And he creates instantaneously the idea of no time, but rather the very opposite. He speaks things into existence, and we have contradictions with evolution, and there are several of them that we already highlighted. Next time, one of the things I want to prioritize is this idea of totally contradicting evolutionary thinking.
All right. We'll get to that in just about a month. Yeah, we've been visiting with Ray Mondragon from the Creation Science Fellowship in New Mexico. He'll actually be speaking November 19th at their meeting, third Tuesday of November, 7 p.m. at Faith Bible Church on Central and Moon, csfnm.org. This conversation will be put at abqconnect.online and...
ForHisGloryNM.com.
Yep, ForHisGloryNM.com. And look forward to catching up with you again next month, Ray.
Looking forward to it myself. In fact, I'll probably give a preview of the talk that I'll be doing the following week.
Looking so forward to it. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll do this again next month. And stay with us. Jay Sekulow on the way. And at 3 o'clock, don't miss In the Market with Janet Parshall. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.